We're going to have a guest speaker right now. He's not a guest to most of you. Most of you know Christopher Coleman. He has a book out. Unconfined Life has been a theme that he has, and we have some books here. If you would like some books after, we'll get you some books. If you've gotten to know him, he's probably, to me, you've been one of the biggest blessings in our church. I think of you in your worship often, because he worships with everything that he has. At the conference 2 weeks ago, he rolled back there and grabbed that banner and went around in his wheelchair with that banner. And I started thinking, how many people are so self-conscious to not even pick up a banner? Because he's unabandoned in worship to God. But you know what else? He tells it like it is. And every time he's preached, it's not been an easy word. And I don't think that's going to happen today. No, you say no. So what I want to do is I want to prepare our hearts right now to receive this word. Father, right now, I thank you for this messenger you brought forward. I thank you for the word that he's got, because I know it's going to be powerful. I know it's going to be anointed, and I know it's going to be life-changing. I pray for our hearts to be able to receive exactly what you have for us. We bless him and give him strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is yours.
Good morning, body of Christ.
Good morning.
That was weak. Come on. Good morning, body of Christ.
Good morning.
I want to say that I am so excited to be here. And let me tell you why. You know, I get to travel around a lot and speak, and most of the time is to share my testimony. That very few times I get the opportunity to share a message, something that God has laid on my heart. And that message that I'm going to share with you this morning, a message that I've had in my heart for probably over 8 years now. And that never was the appropriate time. God never gave me the okay to be on this topic. And it's really near and dear to me. A lot of people don't know, but I talk to God. I know that weird, you know, that may be a weird concept for people, but get what God talks to us. He wants to communicate with us at night when I'm up, not feeling well, can't sleep. Me and God have some very intimate, deep conversations. I'm going to tell you too, sometimes at night when I'm talking to him, I just weep like a baby, because he showed me something I could never think of on my own. And then one of those messages that I really believe is from God. But in all for me to truly share with you the message, I have to give you a little bit of insight into my life, my disability. On the technical side of it, I wasn't breathing for 15 minutes, and that lack of oxygen damaged the left side of my brain, and as a result, I have cerebral palsy. But a lot of people don't know what it's like to have cerebral palsy. I mean, you see me here, and I make it look good. But it is a struggle. Because my body constantly fights against me. I fight to get myself dressed. I fight myself to brush my teeth. I fight myself to even eat. Oh, a side note. Have you ever around me when I'm eating spaghetti? You might want to move to the other table because some of that food will get on you. So I also have seizures because my body get worn out a lot. And I remember one weekend, it was a long weekend, my assistant is usually with me during the week. And on the weekend, I'm on my own taking care of myself, dressing myself, washing dishes. And this weekend, he was on a mission trip. So I was at home alone 4 days by myself, dressing. Because I was worn out, and I ended up waking up on the floor in the middle of a fire on my house. And thank God I got alive and I was able to make it by the house, but completely out. And that weekend, I'm talking to God, and I'm like, God, come here. I tell him, come here. Let me just stay right here. It's okay to talk to God. It's okay to be honest with God. God is not looking for the armor. I'm Father who are in heaven. He's looking for real, authentic conversation. You can be real with him. If you can't be real with anyone else, that's the one person you can't be real with. Amen. Oh my God, come here. Do you know how hard it is to be disabled? Do you really know, God, how hard it is to be disabled? To be in that body with that mind and that heart and that soul. You think I'm crazy when I want to. Could you imagine how I was able to walk? I mean, it is so difficult at times to be in that body. And God said, yeah, I know what it's like. Say what? I know what it's like. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 27 says, now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. And God said, quit. I fight my body every day. Just like you fight yours. I have to fight mine every day to do what I want to do on planet Earth. A constant struggle. And that's what I want to talk to you about more. Like you say, I'm having a problem imagining my God is able. And then I began, my God is all sufficient, knowing wonderful, powerful God. I get that. But let me share with you something that I struggle with, and let's see if we can draw some similarity this morning, okay? I found out that we that it's a lot easier to teach with my computer, so they are bad with me, and let's do this. The one thing I think about that makes me disabled, and the first thing I want to talk about is feeding myself. Like I said, my body constantly fights against me, and my food ends up everywhere. And sometimes I get so aggravated because I'm like, body, don't you know I'm trying to feed you? I'm trying to nourish you. I'm trying to give you the nutrition that you need in order to grow. And you're fighting against me. You're not allowing me to even feed you. Are you not hungry or what? Then that's that. The body must eat. But he answered and said, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But we're not eating, are we? You know, I found out that you can't survive off of one meal a week. Sunday morning, we eat. What about the rest of the week? Yeah, I used to love going to my grandmother's house on Sundays. She would cook food, and she had a spread of food, and we would eat and eat and eat and eat. And I think I'm about to pop. I mean, we would eat so much. And then I would go home, and I'd say, I don't want to see another piece of food for as long as I live. And then Monday morning, I wake up and I'm like, Mama, I'm hungry. What did I do? But somehow we think we can survive without eating. Yep. Constantly on heaven. Or you think you gotta make it just on today's meal. And you wonder why you're weak. Go back. You wonder what happened. Come Wednesday and Thursday of the week. Well, you never fill up. People, we ought to start eating God's word on a day-to-day basis. And I thank God saying, you say you're hungry, you say you're thirsty, well, you got the bread of life right before you. Pick it up and eat it. Amen.
Amen.
And this thing I want to talk about that is very delicate for me. I'm a big trooper. I'm going to talk about my speech. Since we're talking about the mouth, I want to talk about the speech. Because my speech is a little bit unclear, okay? A little bit difficult to understand me, I know that. But here's the secret. Here's what a lot of people don't know. In my mouth, the words sound perfect. I pronounce the word exactly the way it sounds in my mind. But by the time it gets from my mind to my vocal cord and up into the air, it doesn't come out the way I intended it to come out. The word love doesn't quite sound the same that I intended it to be. And we all know the effects of not interpreting God's love the way He intended it to be, don't we? We all know it. But we don't want to take the time out to make sure we have the right interpretation of the word. That's not getting Why your mouth? Now go. And I will teach you with your mouth. And I will teach you what you are to say. Now can I be real with you? Nothing more aggravating to me than someone that is talking to me and they say, And I look at them and I say, you have no idea what I'm saying. And their face is I just busted them big time. But anyway, because I'd rather you just walk away than to pretend like you understand what I'm saying. I'd rather you take some time to get to know me. Or even walk away, but don't pretend like you know what I'm saying. And then you go back and tell somebody, well, he said this. No, that's not what I said. But we don't want to take the time out to get to know what God is saying. We quote scripture like, blah, 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 and I think God is saying, you don't even know what that scripture means. You heard Jonathan say it 2 weeks ago, and you quoting it as if you didn't even know it was in the Bible. I think we have to be careful to make sure we are interpreting and listening, truly listening to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying. Most of us, and I'm going to be real with you, most of us don't have time to have a conversation with God. Ouch, that hurts. Mom let me do. And then God said, why won't you have a conversation with me? Do you know how much it hurts when my child, the one I love, the one I died for, won't even have a conversation with me? It's too busy doing other things to stop for 5 minutes the other day and know what's on my heart. When we were in the church, when the body of Christ said love, it's not coming out the way God intended it to come out. Do you hear me? God, you never take the time out to really understand my love. How can you tell someone else about it? Oh, we're quiet. But too. We can sit there and tell somebody about Christ. We don't have the time, take the time out to know what he's saying to us. I don't just say, God, he talks a lot. He's one of those people that you have be like, repeat, be quiet. You constantly talk. But God constantly wants to know his heart. And we just open up and listen. We all know how damaging it can be when God was did not correctly come out. That should hit this group like a ton of books. We are all here, most of us, the pain that is caused by someone not correctly interpreting God's word. We all be passionate about making sure we get it right. Yeah, you got those 8 verses that pertaining to your sexuality. Oh, you got that tied down. But I got new for you. It's 66 books in the Bible. We ought to be just as passionate about those sentences, but as we are about those 8 books. That's right. We ought to know about those sentences, but just like we know about 8 books. God has so much more to say than those 8 books. And get what? I don't know about you, but I have a lot more going on in my life than that door A person. I mean, I have no more plan than you living up, but I'm on earth, and I have a lot of problems and situations other than my sexuality that I have to deal with. We say God is the answer for everything, right? How do you know? My point is that that's just something we quote and say amen to. we should know that from diving into the Word of God and finding our parts. So, I'm going to move on before I really get in trouble, which I have no problem with. So, another difficult thing for me to do is get my head, both of my head, to do something together. I want to pick up something, the hand want to go over here, the hand want to do that, and I'm like, in the middle of y'all got to work together to pick that up. But a lot of times my head, especially my left one, this head is so stubborn. I mean, it just don't want to do what I want it to do. And they don't understand that they have to work together. We must work together. There is one body and one spirit, that also you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. But we all want to work together. And boy, I'm finna step on some toes right now. But remember, I can't walk. So if anybody is stepping on your toes, it's the Holy Spirit. All right. Vincent of Alton should not have to deal with that. I hear all the time within that body, I can't work with that person because she said that, or she said that. She did that, she did that. Come on. You were a part of a body of believers that did not even accept you for who you are, and now you're going to come in this church where you are loved and accepted and be that petty? Really? Really? I give you the watered down version of what my mom would say to you. Okay, here you go, the watered down version of it. She would say, that is a crying shame. You need your butt whooped for that. You really need to think about what you do. Some of you won't even sign up for gay pride because you don't want to be around a certain person. You're more concerned about a certain person than you are making sure that someone knows that Jesus loved them. For real. What's the problem, Jesus? Do you understand it? Why can't the body work together? We should not be repeating the same stuff that the church we come out of. I say we cannot be repeating the same step that the church taken off. Though of things that my own church had to deal with. All the pity and the big one complaining. And now I come here to a church that loves me, who embraced me as I am. I wouldn't dare say I don't want to go work day part with that person. You know, like my mama. And we're all different. But I guarantee you, each one of you who know me, know that I love you. No matter how different we are, I guarantee you, if you know me, you know I love you. Amen. And I don't let our differences stop me from sharing my love for you. There is so much work that God wants accomplished through us that didn't body, but we are not only fighting against him, we are fighting against each other. And God cannot accomplish what he wants to accomplish if we don't be fighting against him and each other. The last thing I think about, and then I'm really preach, so hang on, is the fact that because my body constantly fight against me, and my words don't come out the way I want them to come out, because of that, people who don't know me think that I'm insufficient. They don't know how intelligent I am. They don't know that I'm actually able to teach them a few things or two about that. You know, it's funny, I go out to eat sometimes, and I'm always freaking, laughing, talking, having a great time. You know, you've been there with me. And every now and then, a waiter will come over. And that waiter will look at my company and say, what do he want? To eat a drink. They got the impression based on my voice and then based on the way my body fight against me that I'm not all there. That I can't answer the question that they have for me. And we say, oh, I get that. What do you think God looked like? Just looking at the body of Christ, just looking at the way we fight against him, the way we misinterpret his word, what do you think we make God look like? 2 Corinthians said, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal to us. We beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. And read that little note with me. We are the reason why people assume that he is not enough and he cannot add anything to our lives. People look at the body of Christ and the way we act and the way we fight against it and say, what's the point? Your God can't be too sufficient of you acting like that. You cannot be too in love with them if you're acting like that. Oh, he might own out. Really? Is that all you got? I am so aggravated with people because I might have been dead. Give me a chance. You will see that that more to me than me the eye. Amen. I thank God for the same way. Every dance, give me a chance. I know my body is not acting right. Don't let that fool you. I am God. I am the person. I am. I am. They haven't gotten that yet, but don't let them stop you from seeing who I am. But I don't want to be the one that made Jesus so insufficient. I'm sorry, I don't. I know it's hard. I know it's nature for us to want to disobey. But at the end of the day, I want people to look at me and say, that's something must be real about the Jesus. For Christopher to act the way he acts, smile the way he smiles, love the way he loves, talk the way he talks, and something must be real about his Jesus. Don't you want that?
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Know what you know about my disability. Would you take my disability away from me? If you had the power to fix cerebral palsy from me, knowing that the struggle that I face, would you take that from me? Yeah?
Yeah.
I love you. But I don't love you like Christ loved you. And you can help me not look insufficient, but you can help God not look insufficient. You can help God be who he want to be you right now, can make a decision that God in me will not look disabled to anyone. We have to enable God by disabling ourselves. Oh, no, no. We have to enable God. The only way that God really going to be able to show for his ability is by you disabling yourself. God showed me that a long time ago. We were in one of those conversations. And I'm like, God, I really don't like the word disabled. And God said, in your disability, that people see how able I am. So you carry that label, and you carry it faultless because I am able in you. You see one of my teachers, I have my teacher, and it said, God is able. But if you really look at it, it said, go disabled. See, by me being willing to live my life disabled, he's trying to figure out who. That made God able in me. So let me tell you a little bit more about my story. I'm a twin. I have a twin sister. And she was born 15 minutes after me. And that's when I started to breathe. And what most people don't know is the damage, the complication of twins usually happen to the second baby. And that is very rare that the first baby come out and have to use the second baby. But for some reason, here I am. And so I fast forward the tape. I'm about 15, 20 years from there. Me and my sister talking. She said, you know, God made you disabled because he knew I could not deal with it. Well, like you can. And I was kind of like, that nice, I get what you're trying to say, but I wasn't at the point where I was okay with it. Yeah. I meet people every day, and they say, you inspire me, you motivate me. Thank you. Why? And the real reason is because they know if they had my situation, they would not deal with it at will as I have. So I'm kind of encouraged by that, by my. How many of us would say we are the body of Christ? We are a part of the body of Christ. Would you agree with me? You're all about a part. You may not be part of that body particularly, but you would say, I am a part of the body of Christ. Okay? How many would you say, I love Jesus. I love God. So you say, I am a part of the body of Christ. I love God. Now follow me on this, okay? And my computer said like this. So you are a part of the body of Christ. And you love God. And God said, If you love me, feed my sheep. Well, what do the sheep of God eat? Do anybody know? What did the sheep of God eat? The sheep of God has a special diet, thank you. Did anybody know? God said, this is my body broken for you. And I gross as a Messiah, but God sees it, his broken body. All right. So, I love you, God. You want me to feed my sheep, but the only way I can feed your sheep is to be broken. And a lot of you don't want to be broken for Christ. You want to be a part of the body. You say you love him. But whatever God breaks, he uses. Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. In Acts, he broke bread and fed 5,000 people or more. In Matthew, he took fish and broke it and fed the multitude. And number three, my favorite one, in John chapter 9, he took his own son, broke him, nailed him to the cross, and brought salvation, lived the great forgiveness right to your doorsteps. Wherever God breaks, he uses it and must not let it break. The body of Christ is at its best. And it's broken for him. So what does it mean to be a broken body for Christ? And I really believe broken body in Philippians so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being confirmed to his death and all that I may attend to the resurrection of his death. Let me tell you something. I have no problem living the rest of my life disabled and broken for him. And what it takes to get me one step close to him. Never in a million years. I could not say it 30 years ago. But I'm saying now, if God came to me and said, Chris, I can give you a perfect body, but you won't know me. Are you going to live the rest of your life in this wheelchair? But I will be with you. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, I will say, give it to me. I will be disabled for the rest of my life, no problem, as long as I know my Savior is with me. himself to me, to be a broken body and to embrace the disabled lifestyle. And we want to be truthful with ourselves. We don't want to be broken. We'd rather be able and perfect, have everything going our way. We'd rather have life easy. The thought of being broken somehow, it doesn't make us feel like we're not where we should be in life. But I'm looking at all of you, and I don't see one perfect person. I see everybody at some point in their life got broke. You hear? Because you've been broken at some point. You want to be healed. But sometimes the healing comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood runs it to the place that hurts the most. The blood of Jesus runs it to that place in your life that hurts the most. I'm okay with being broken. So to me, being broken and being willing to receive only what God gives, to release what God takes, to suffer what He inflicts, and to be sure of whatever God's chosen to withhold. It means trusting in Him, regardless of what's going on in your life. The one thing about my body that it does right for me, I love it. My body doesn't fight me when I want to raise my hands up in Jesus and praise Him. My body doesn't struggle with me saying, I love you, Jesus. I worship your name. I pray you from the valley to from the bottom of the valley to the top of the mountain. I pray you. And y'all think y'all see me praising Him? I couldn't do this. This would be way too much for me. No way I could do this. Every day of my life, if it had not been for the Lord. Some people say, that when I watch you worship, you put me in shame. And I'm like, really? When I worship, I put you in shame? Look at me, people. Look at my body. Listen to my voice. How can I put you in shame? And I put you to shame in my worship, and only because, one, you're lazy. And two, you don't appreciate the life that you've been given.
Amen.
Because it you did. You put warm wings around me. But I love some of you, and then I love some of you while I'm worshiping. And you just sitting there. I remember one of my favorite scriptures is John chapter, Luke chapter 9. Jesus, the disciple, walking down Mount Olivet, they prayed to him. They are clinging and they all got the Noah and the Messiah come down there, they're going crazy. And the disciples said, Teacher, rebuke them. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth, didn't I? And they keep quiet. The watch were quiet. Now I understand that I'm disabled. But I have a little bit more ability to the watch. I'm not saying that it's easy to hold my hand up in the air, but I want to see a watch better. I'm not saying in our heart to put out amen, hallelujah. But I want to see a rock do it. A rock can never take my place when it comes to worshiping my saint. Never. But what about you? Can you look at me and say that a problem that is greater than him? Can you look at me and say, you know what? Maybe Jesus is not enough. Like my mom would say, that a crying shame, you need your butt whooped for that.
Yeah.